y'all. Can you hear me? I don't speak very loud, so, but I want you to be able to hear me. You know what a blessing it is to be here.
That's right.
Every Sunday. I mean, where would we be without our church?
That's right.
Not this building, but our church.
That's right.
You know, the world thinks we're crazy. The lost world thinks we're crazy people. But I'm here to tell you, they don't know what we have.
That's right. Amen.
They don't know. They don't understand. But I'm telling you, once you experience it, there's no going back.
Amen.
And there's nothing better than having a church family. Amen. Like this church family.
That's right.
You know? And we're getting to the point where we know each other more and more. And that's a blessing. And, you know, 108 years, 107 years, that's a long time. I was sitting there thinking, hey, we just need to have an invitation. When we've already had all this beautiful music. We had Mandy gets up here and, where is Mandy? Anyway, she gets up here and preaches. No. Anyway, she gets up here and she does a great job, and I appreciate that. Because I didn't do much searching on history. I just know it's been 107 years, 108 years. I've been told my great-great-grandpa donated the land. Our great-great-grandpa donated the land for him to build the first church out here. And we're out here in the cornfield, and look at us, what God has done.
Amen.
You know, and I'm thinking, you know, this is the last service we're going to have here in this building. And Matt puts me up here to preach. I'm thinking, man, what a tall order. It's a tall order just to preach behind Matt Raines. But it's a real tall order just to get up here on the last Sunday. It's going to be an emotional Sunday.
Right.
You know, and seen a lot of great things happen here.
Right.
A lot of prayers answered. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about God and a faith builder is when He answers prayers.
Amen.
That builds your faith. And I'll tell you something that sticks in my mind. Because you think 107 years. Well, you see how many people were saved. If they weren't already saved, they were baptized, added to the church that first two Sundays, years and years ago. But you think about of 107 years, how many people have been saved right here? But how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been affected by this little church here? We've supported missionaries forever, all across the world. And people have been saved, many, 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 many souls. And you think that you're insignificant? I think not. What you do with your life is important.
Amen.
And how you live your life is important.
Amen.
And one of the things I said that sticks out in my mind, we had a revival, and when Liz Blocker got saved. We've been praying and praying. She came down the aisle right here. Praise God.
Amen.
That's just one example of many. Many. Change your life. No. Yes. She wouldn't go back. She wouldn't go back. None of us have ever been born again. I've never met one person who's ever said, I wish I would have never been saved.
That's right.
That ain't going to happen. If they're truly born again believers, they're not going to tell you that.
That's right.
And you look down through time at the millions of people who've given their lives for the cause of Christ, and not one of them, I can promise you, not one of them, when they were fixing to lay the axe to their head or put them in a hollow tree and cut them in two, not one of them recanted. If they would have, they wouldn't have been killed.
That's right.
They didn't recant. There's nothing greater than salvation. There's nothing greater than knowing Jesus Christ. And there's nothing greater than being a part of His church.
That's right.
Church family. There's a lot of churches throughout the world like ours.
That's right.
Blessed people. But somebody started somewhere. Somebody started like we started here in 1917, right? Yes. circuit preachers. Back then they didn't have preachers, that pastors of churches. If they didn't have a church, they didn't have a pastor. They had circuit preachers come around like once a month, hold revivals or whatever. But those, like you said, those people were hungry for the gospel. And they had circuit preachers, praise God for those men.
Amen.
Riding horses. You think about back in those days, you came to church, you had to ride a horse, get on your wagon, hook up your team. It wasn't just jump in your car and come to church. You know, it took some effort. But the fact that they loved the Lord so much so, and they loved souls, that's the key, so much so that they were willing to go to that trouble. Maybe to them it wasn't any trouble, but as we look back on it, we think, that's a lot of trouble. Now we just jump in our car and push a button and come to church. And what do? A lot of times we don't jump in our car and push a button and come to church, do we? No, we stay home because we're tired, because we work 6 days a week. I understand that. But the thing of it is, there's nothing more important. And, well, they said there's nothing more important. And today, we live in a day and age where, listen to me, a lot, you got to think about this, people. People with parents with children. A lot of children are put on the altar or sacrificed to other things, as a matter of speaking. And what's more important? What's more important than the salvation of the souls of your children?
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
That's why you need to be here. That's why they need to hear the gospel. They need to be born again. The world, you're not a child. I'm not a child. Most of us in here aren't children anymore. And we don't have a clue. I don't have a clue the pressure that children are put under nowadays.
Right.
But I can tell you it is a million times more than when I was a child.
That's right.
I had it easy. I went to school. I came home. I milked the cow. I fed the dogs. Things such as that. I didn't, you know, played football, whatever. But the things that children have to endure today, and a lot of it we have brought on, our own selves.
Come on.
Yeah. We've done it to our own selves. A lot of it. Peer pressure from the world. Look. It's not worth it.
Amen.
And this is not even my sermon. I'm just up here ranting. But think of the patriarchs that's come through, the people that have come through this. We've known them. Bob Denny, Sherman Terrell, Bob Jones, Lester Dean, all these I can think of, Everett Bland, Herschel Nichols, Claude Gwynn. I'm just running off these people that I remember in my lifetime who made an example, Dean Denny. A lot of people, men who, they were just people, just like you and I, had jobs, farmers, whatever they did, had to work hard. But I'm telling you, when the doors were open, they were here.
Amen. That's right.
And that had an impression on me. I remember when I was young. When I was young, I was not too bright. I ain't too bright now, but I was not as bright then. And I would think, I want to be like them. Of all things. I didn't want to be like Michael Jordan or any of those people. I wanted to be like Bob Denny. I wanted to be like Bob Jones. Those people make an impression. They made an impression on me, and I know they made an impression on a lot of people here. And what greater impression to make on somebody than their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and living out their faith. If you don't live out your faith, you haven't done anything.
That's right.
You know, what does the Bible tell us? Faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
You have to live out your faith. So, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 3:21. Well, I get a drink of water. Ephesians 3:21. We're talking about the church. We're talking about our church family. I'm not talking about this building, but this building is very special. We have another very special building over there.
That's right.
And that special, can you imagine how excited they were when they got that new building built back there? I mean, they were probably, they meeting in the old schoolhouse. And if it was too hot, they had to meet out under a tree. But they did it. And you can imagine how excited they were when they got that new building. I remember that old building. I remember the old pews. They're made out of one befores. We sat in them. People carved names in them. My name might have been carved in probably was. Anyway, a lot of old stories. I remember Michael Denny, Billy Dewey. We were boys, you know. I'll just tell this real quick. And we were sitting in the back row in the corner over there. And Sister Betty Denny, she's a wonderful person as well. And her mother, they put up with me in Sunday school back there. Y'all don't know how I was when I was young. It was, not that I was really ornery, but I would just wouldn't sit down. But anyway, me, Billy Dewey sitting here, we're teenagers, 13, 14, Michael Denny and myself. Billy Dewey, for whatever reason, if you don't know Billy, his dad was the pastor here, Bill Dewey, for a few years. He was here when they built this new sanctuary. Billy had his K-bar out. And Michael said something that Billy didn't like, and he stabbed him in the leg, mind you. About yay deep. So that's just one of the things. He did, I promise. And me and Michael got up and went back there in the back. Yeah, he had a big old gash, and he stabbed him pretty good. But anyway, that's just one of those things I remember that took place. But anyhow... Ephesians 3:21. And you know, these people, all the people that, they had a vision. Remember what the Bible tells us, without a vision, the people perish. We have a vision. We still have a vision. We have to maintain and keep that vision. Jesus Christ and Him first. And lost souls. Ephesians 3:21. We probably all know this verse by heart. And it tells us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. And I'm looking at this verse, and it says, unto Him be glory. That's talking about God, the Father. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm thinking, how, Lord, how do we bring glory to You through the church? I'm pondering, and I'm thinking, and I'm asking the Lord. And I look down there, and it says, by Christ Jesus. I thought, well, duh. It's right there. How do we bring glory to God, the Father? Through Christ Jesus. So my first point brings me to my first point, and that is the eternal purpose of the church. The eternal purpose of the church. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the church, the eternal purpose of the church, to glorify God. And how do we glorify God? Through Jesus Christ. First thing, through the salvation of souls. And you know, when a person is saved, it brings a change of your desires. If you're born, when you're born again, your desires will change. God will change
That's
your
right.
desires.
That's
The Bible tells us that the saved are a new creature. And you know, if you've ever been, you know, if you're a born-again believer, you are a new creature.
That's right.
We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And God will change our desires. We still have to deal with the old man and the sin nature. But the saved also have a new nature, that one that hates sin. So the preaching of Jesus Christ through to the church, in the church, brings glory to God because of why? If you're born again, do you not thank God every day, your Father, for Jesus Christ?
Right.
Yes. The Son of God, His only begotten Son that He sent, He didn't have to send Him.
Right.
Not at all. Nobody would twist His arm. He was accountable to no one.
That's right.
He didn't have to send His Son, but He did. So therefore, we thank God for Jesus. We glorify God through the church. Remember, when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about you and I. As a collective body, we come here to do what? To worship. Why are we worshiping? Why do we want to come and worship God? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of His love for us and what He has done for us. So through salvation, God will change your desires. The world doesn't understand that, as I said, but I'm telling you, if you're here today, those of you here today who've never been born again, trust me, there's nothing greater. Nothing will ever happen to you in your life any greater than being saved.
Amen.
And you have no other greater decision in your life to make than salvation.
That's right.
Because hell is real.
That's right.
And people go there every day.
Yes.
And they go there because they choose to. Look, God has a plan. He's made a plan. He put it into practice before the world was ever founded. Before He ever created the world, He made a plan. That plan was to send His Son. Because He knew Adam was going to fall. He knew man was going to be plundered into sin. So He made a plan. And that was to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. To pay for our sin debt. So the greatest decision, and let me tell you, God does not send people to hell. A lot of the world's hung up on the fact that God will send someone to hell. He doesn't send you to hell. It's your choice.
That's right.
You choose to go to hell. You have a choice. Accept Christ, repent, put your faith in the gospel, have eternal life, or go to hell.
Right.
Reject Jesus Christ and try to make it on your own. You're not going to make it on your own.
That's right.
You can't pay your own sin debt. That's why eternity is eternity.
Right.
Because you can't pay your own sin debt.
Amen.
You can't pay it. And hell is real, as I said. And have you ever tried to contemplate forever? Think about forever. It's hard for us to contemplate and think about forever because we're in a world where there is no forever. We're constantly doing things. Things are changing. People are dying. People are born. All these things. Nothing lasts forever. But try to contemplate forever and think about it. And then think about being in hell, torments, the place of torments forever. And that's a scary thought. And the only reason I'm not going is because of Jesus. The only reason you're not going is because of Jesus.
Right.
So Jesus will change your desire when you're saved. He will also change your direction. He brings a change in direction. Your life, direction will change. God will redirect your life. And this is what most people are scared of. This is why a lot of people won't get saved. Is because of the fact that God's going to change their life.
Right.
But He's going to change it for the better. Like I said before, I have never met anyone who regrets being born again. And He will give you the strength, He will give you the wisdom, all you need to live your life for Him, wherever He might take you. Now, I'll admit, thinking about me going somewhere like Africa, Russia, the Philippines, those men who've gone over there and women, wives who've went with those people, that takes a special person.
That's right.
That takes a committed, sold-out person. That's not me, I will admit to you. But you think about that. The fact that God changes their direction, that's a scary thing. When I surrendered to preach, that's one of my biggest fears was, man, what if God sends me over there somewhere? Pretty scary. But if you love the Lord, He'll take care of you. And if you love souls, it doesn't matter, like I said, if you die a martyr's death. You're going to die anyway. I've heard Matt say this as well. You're going to die anyway. Why not die doing the will of God?
Amen.
I mean,
that.
Truly. Unless we're here when the Lord comes back, everyone in this room is going to die.
That's right.
No way around it. So why not die doing the will of God? Because He's got a will for you.
That's right.
As I said, He will change your desire. He changes your direction. And also, in Christ Jesus, and the purpose for the church is the sanctification of the saints. You know, when you're born again, God has a plan for your life. And He's going to sanctify you. Sanctification means to be set apart. I'm going to get down here with you people because I'm one of you people. I'm not your pastor. Sanctification means to be set apart. When you're saved, God sets you apart. He has a purpose for you, and He's going to set you apart. He's going to change your direction, your desires. So he's going to work on sanctifying you and making you more like his son, Christ. That's his purpose for your life, is to make you more like his son. And what greater thing can happen to a person is to be made more like Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Because the world needs people who love Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that happens through the church. Honor and glory is brought to God through his church, through Jesus Christ, by the sanctification of saints. And look, you know, church nowadays is, people's mindset on coming to church is optional. It's not optional. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Yes.
That's what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's a commandment that when your church meets, as a child of God, you're to be here.
Right.
But in this day and age, and the day and age that we live in, people think it's an option whether they come to church or not. It's not an option, like I said. We're to be here when the doors are open. We're to be here serving one another. You come to church, encourages me. If you're not here, I'm wondering what's going on. So your presence here encourages me. And we're here to encourage one another and lift one another up. We're here to rebuke one another. If I need to be rebuked, rebuke me. Mm-hmm. I need it.
That's right.
So the eternal purpose of the church, to bring honor and glory to God. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. And knowing him as our personal Savior. And you know, he also teaches us in sanctification, God also teaches us to deny ourselves. Self-denial is something that's hard to come by. I mean, it's hard to do for people, to deny self. And I tell you, for one thing, I'm definitely a selfish person. And there's no room for selfishness in the service of God.
That's right.
We're to be selfless people. So sanctification helps us to deny ourselves. It teach us to deny self. And it will cost you to serve the Lord.
That's right.
You deny self. You're giving up something, are you not? When you deny self, you're giving up something. When you put other people before you, you're giving up self.
Right.
And we all love self.
That's right.
And as I said before, I'm a selfish person. I don't brag on that. I'm just telling you, that's one of my many pitfalls and downfalls, is selfishness. And so God is trying to set us apart, sanctifying us, to make us to be more like Jesus Christ, to bring honor and glory to God through his church. And selfless people, that's what he's trying, that's his desire, is to make us to be selfless people. Not selfish, but selfless. And you know, I would have never thought now that I would be going to church with a lot of people that go to church here. I would have never thought I'd be going to church with. I would have never thought I'd be going to church with Keith and Janet or Nathan and Rachel. Sammy, Kay. God is hard at work.
That's right.
Bringing people into our lives that we would have never thought. Steve, Kathy. Would have never thought I would be going to church with these people. But God is hard at work.
That's right.
And his desire is to, as I said, to grow Garden Grove Missionary Baptist Church. And to make us to be people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the second part. You know, we're to encourage one another. A part of sanctification process is to teach us to have a desire to serve. Not just to deny self, but a desire to serve. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ as you should, as God sets you apart, the more you love Jesus Christ, the more you love people.
That's right.
The more you love souls. And the Lord is working hard in our lives that we may love the Lord Jesus Christ so that we may love more people and love people like He does. And we are blessed to be in this congregation because there's a lot of people here who really love the Lord. And that's a big deal. You know, you can go to a lot of churches where you can tell people really don't love the Lord. They don't have it in their life, as I would say. They don't show it in their lives. When you come through the door, you know, it's important that when we walk in this building that we feel loved and we feel welcomed. And here at Garden Grove, I believe that people really feel loved and really feel welcomed. I've been told that. You know, and that's one thing that people are looking for. I mean, if you come here and there's nothing different than outside, out in the world, then why would you want to be here?
That's right.
You know, why would you want to be here? And why would they come back? We have to show the love of Christ. We have to deny self and have a willing heart to serve one another. You know, it's a church's responsibility to make disciples out of believers. God is setting us apart, sanctifying us, growing us up, and it's our responsibility to disciple new believers and to teach them the things that they need to know about the Word and just life in general. You know, a lot of people, as we've learned through our small groups, a lot of people they get saved and they drop out. And I was telling my small groups, I've been in church all my life, so I never really thought about it. But the fact that a lot of people who get saved and come into the family of God have never been churched. They don't know church, anything about church. So therefore, you know, I think they know everything. You know, they weren't raised in church. They have to be taught. They have to be taught the things that are important. They have to be showed by example. And like I said, I never thought about that fact, but the fact of the matter is they have to be discipled, and we have to do it. It's up to you and I as older people in the church, if you're one of them, a more mature Christian, I would say, it's up to you and I to know the Bible, know what it has to say, share our life experiences. We've all had experiences in life, and we can all help people. You know, a lot of people go to counseling. Like Darren said, a lot of people need counsel. We all need counsel. But we all have things that we've been through in our lives that we can help other people with. You know, when I was young, thinking about holding people accountable, the one thing we need to do is hold each other accountable. When I was a young man, and my mom, we lived in Prague. We moved to Prague. Let me tell you, if you miss church, when you got home, when 12:30 rolled around, that phone's going to be ringing. Before you change clothes, before you prepared the meal, whatever it might be, the phone's going to be ringing wanting to know why we weren't at church. And I thank her for that. She cared enough. And I'm not talking 1 out of 10 times. I'm talking about every time. And I mean, we moved to Prague, and she lives down here, and we're 20 miles up there, and the phone rings. You know what's coming. The phone rings. Remember, we're 20 miles away, and I pick up the phone, head down, because I know, it's just like my mom's looking at me. Hello. You know, hello, I know what's coming. Hello. Chris, are you guys sick? No. Well, why weren't you at church? And then you got to come up with a reason you weren't at church. But that's why we all ought to be.
Right.
Not that we're nosy. If you miss church, I want you to know that I missed you.
Yes.
And that you were missed.
Amen.
Your presence blesses me.
Amen.
Your presence blesses each of us.
That's right.
It don't matter what your office is in the church, if you don't even have one. It's just your presence in this building when I'm here blesses me.
That's right.
And blesses me to see you. And I want you to be here. So if I text you and ask you, hey, what's going on? Why was your church? Missed you? You know, or whoever it might be, that's a good thing.
That's
right.
We're not trying to be nosy. We're just concerned.
That's right.
And just like my mom, she was concerned. She kept me in line. And I thank her for that. Amen. That she cared enough that she would call me and ask me, "And why weren't you at church?" So I'm thankful for that. So we looked at the eternal purpose of the church. Now we're looking at the eternal position of the church. The eternal position of the church, what's it say? World without end. World without end. You know, Jesus started the first church. Now, there's a lot of people out there who think that the first church was started on the day of Pentecost, but that's not true. The first church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. The first church was started on the seashores of Galilee when Jesus called the 12. You know, the word church means ekklesia, called out. It's two words in the Greek. Ekklesia, called out, assembly. You get that? Called out, assembly. That's why Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembly. We're called out. We're a called out assembly. And we're to be here when the doors are open so we can worship God. Now, what's more important in your life than worshiping God? And no stopping. World without end. The latter part of Matthew 16:18 says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church, the first church, look, the first church was started on the seashores of Galilee, and we're still having church today.
That's right.
The gates of hell have not prevailed against Garden Grove.
That's right.
You know, and that's not talking about here we are all huddled up and here's hell trying to get in the door. No, it's talking about we're going forward. We are an army, and we are moving on. We're pressing forward. So the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And there's no stopping the church, and there's no straying from the truth. We have to be a non-compromising. Listen, now here's what's really important about church and the things of church. There's a lot of stuff out there being preached. But 107 years, I can tell you, I only remember one event. We had one young man, you remember. His grandpa was a preacher. His dad was a preacher. We had this young man come as our pastor. He was here about a year and a half or so. And he kept it well hidden. But he believed you had to be baptized, not really to be saved, but to be in the presence of the Lord when you died. And what's the difference? You know? Still yet, it's heresy. So he was called on the carpet and he was put out the door because he was teaching something that wasn't true. So out of 107, 108 years, Garden Grove has always preached the truth. And that's very important because if you don't preach half-truth, it's a whole lie.
That's right.
And you can go out there in the world and you can hear anything. And I'm not knocking, but you know, there's a lot of places out there that have church over the door that's not a church. God doesn't recognize them as a scriptural New Testament church. And I'm telling you, it's very important that we know our Bibles and know what the truth is. And that we, by no circumstances, compromise the truth. Because you can't... I mean, that's how the devil works. By compromising the truth. You bring in salvation by works? No. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We don't compromise the truth. Because what do you have if you compromise the truth? You have nothing. You know. So we're not a church of compromise. And we have to fight. Listen, we have a great enemy. And we have to fight this enemy every day because he's about compromise. He's a liar, Satan, and he can twist the truth just a little bit. There's going to be countless, countless, countless numbers of people in hell who thought they were going to go to heaven.
That's right.
Because they believed a lie. He's the father of lies. We know the truth. We have to stand for the truth.
Right.
We have to study to show ourselves approved. That's why it's so important to study and know your Bible. Because just a little tweaking here and a little tweaking there. And then the gospel is perverted. Repent and believe the gospel. That's how you get saved.
Yes.
It's not repent and believe the gospel, get baptized, repent and believe the gospel and do all these sacraments. No. It's repent and believe the gospel for the remission of sins. And we have to stand on this. So we can't be a church of compromise. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast. Let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering. We can't be people who waver. What's the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in all ways. Well, a wavering church is unstable in all ways. So we have to stand for the truth, and Garden Grove has always stood for the truth. And as we proceed further on, we're going to have to be a church that teaches and preaches the truth. And that's up to you and I to know what the truth is, to study, to show ourselves approved. So we see the eternal purpose of the church, the eternal position of the church. And we're to contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Now you think about this. The gospel is a simple thing.
Yes.
Salvation is simple. Repent and believe the gospel.
Yes.
This has been preached since Jesus came on the scene. This is what he preached. And you think about all down through time, have people not, somebody took it upon themselves to contend for the faith. Because if someone would not have contended for the faith, we would not know what the truth is now. So it's so important that as a church, we preach the truth. And we contend for the faith. The last thing we want to look at, the eternal proprietor of the church. The eternal proprietor of the church, the eternal owner of the church, which is Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there would be no church. Jesus selected the first church, as I said, on the seashores of Galilee. Jesus served the first church. He was the pastor of the first church. He set the example. He never asked us to do or to go where he hadn't already been. So that's one thing about Jesus. When he asks you to do something or calls you to do something, he's already been there. He's already done it. He's not going to ask you or call you to do anything that he hasn't already done. And he will go with you. He will go before you. So our church is blood bought. He paid the price. He shed his blood for this church. And he's the owner of our church. And the church is you and I. If you're a born-again believer, you belong to Christ. And do we not owe him our life? Do we not owe him all that we can do for him as our church? And do we not see this example all down through this time of 107 years that somebody had that mindset and they really knew that Jesus Christ was their master? Yes, so important that we realize who Christ is and realize that we're not our own. You're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, when you have a hard time getting out of bed, coming to church, you think about where you've been. Think about what Christ has done for you. There's power in the church. This is where, this is where God does his business, in his church. There's power in our church. There's power in the blood. There's power in Christ's church. He's the owner, I said, of our church. This is where his business is done, where souls are saved. This is where people are taught. This is where battles are fought. And it's important that you and I be here always. Turn your Bible over to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. Now remember, the children of Israel were captive in Egypt. God sends Moses. He delivers the people out of Egypt. And they end up where? They're headed for the promised land. They end up on the banks of the Jordan. They send out 12 spies. They come back, 10 of them, have what? 10 of them have a bad report. 2 of them say, let's go in, let's wield our swords, we can do this thing. 10 of them have the grasshopper complex, they call it. Because of what did they say? They said, we're like grasshoppers. They're giants. Well, yeah, there's giants. God told you there's going to be giants. What has He told us? There's giants out there. There's giant enemies out there for you and I. But we can't have the grasshopper complex. We have to have people. We have to be people of faith, willing to wield our swords and go and fight these battles, because they're coming. So what happened? He had 10 people who turned the whole nation and kept them from going into the promised land for 40 years. You don't want to be. We don't want to be one of these people with a grasshopper complex. We want to be these people like Caleb and Joshua. They discourage the people. We don't want to be people who discourage one another. We want to encourage each other. Now, Joshua 24:14 says this. Now listen. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now on this day, God had called Israel up on the carpet. Today, Garden Grove, God is calling us up on the carpet. If you're here, I don't care who you are, God is calling you today on the carpet. And this is His words to you. Choose you this day. You've got to make a choice. Choose you this day. He says, if you want to serve, listen, if you want to serve the devil, then serve the devil. Is that not what He said? If you want to serve strange gods, if you want to serve the devil, this is what He's telling us. If you want to serve the devil, serve the devil. If you want to serve God, then serve God. But you got to make a choice. Today He's calling us up on the carpet. We're crossing over. We're crossing over next week. We're going over there. We don't want to be people with a grasshopper complex. We don't want to be those, oh, of ye little faith.
That's right.
We want to be people of faith. And we want to make a choice. We have to make a choice. If you've never been born again, today, God's calling you up on the carpet today. And He said, look, you've never been saved. You need to be saved.
That's right.
Today's your day.
That's right.
Because you have no promise of tomorrow. Choose you this day. If you're looking for a church home, if you feel like God has led you here to this church, then why have you not joined this church? Because we just looked at what the church is all about. And God has led you here. You need to be a member of this church.
That's right.
Because you need to be working in this church.
Yes.
So God has called you up on the carpet. Just like He called Israel on the carpet. You have to make a choice today.
That's right.
No, we don't need to put it off. Like I said, we're crossing over. Next week, we're going to greater and better and bigger things. And listen, when they were standing there on the Jordan and the spies came back, what did they tell them? They did tell them, they said, look, yeah, it is a land of milk and honey. And it does take 2 men to carry one cluster of grapes. But what was staring them in the face before they went across that? Their enemy. They had to go over there and fight battles and fight battles and fight battles. And they did that. And don't you think the enemy ain't staring us in the face?
That's right.
We have the same enemy they had.
That's right.
He didn't want them going across over there because He knew that they were going to establish a nation, and through that nation was going to come the Messiah.
Amen.
And Satan did everything he could to keep that from happening.
That's right.
Here we are today, a church. Garden Grove Missionary Baptist Church. We're crossing over there. We're moving on. Bigger and better things. What are we looking for? Salvation of souls. To build a kingdom. And the enemy's there.
That's right.
He's going to be there. He's already there.
That's right.
He's already there. And we have to make a choice. What are we going to do? Who are we going to be? People of faith or people with a grasshopper complex? Because you see the effect of faithless people affects and discourages everyone.
That's right.
And we have a great enemy. So today, as I said, God has called us up on the carpet. Today is your day to make a choice.
That's right.
You need to be saved. Be saved.
Yes.
You need to join this church, become a part of our membership, and become a part of this team, this congregation. Today's the day. There's no reason to wait.
That's right.
Life is short. And the most important thing in your life is being born again and being part of the Lord's church.
Amen.
And working for the Lord. There's nothing else out there as important as this.
Yes.
Nothing. This is what life is about.
Amen.
It's not about all the other things we get into.
Right.
Yeah, we have to work for a living and all this stuff. But that's secondary.
That's right.
The important thing is what we do with Jesus.
Amen.
And the salvation of souls. Because this world is passing away and it's fleeting by really quickly. And people will die every day and go to hell. And if you and I know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it's you and I a responsibility to tell those people about Christ.
Amen.
By the foolishness of preaching, people are saved. This is God's plan that He's put it into practice. And that's how people are born again, by the foolishness of preaching. So you see, Joshua told him, you want to serve the devil? He cut it straight out, didn't he? Look, there's no middle ground. There's no gray area. There's no straddling the fence with God.
That's right.
You're either going to serve me or you're not. That's what he says. You're going to serve me or you're not going to serve me. But you got to make a choice.
Right.
If you want to serve the devil, he says, go. Go serve the devil. But he said, if you're going to serve me, then you're going to get down to business. And we're getting down to business.
Yeah.
Who would ever thought? You know, it wasn't two or three years ago, this was just a thought. Now it's reality. So as I said, you're called on the carpet today. You need to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As our musicians come, we prepare for an invitation. We've read about the church, the important part of the church, the purpose of the church, the longevity of our church, the owner of our church. Blood-bought people we are. And the fact that we have to make a choice in our service to God. Somebody made a choice out of this 107 years people chose to serve God. Or we wouldn't be here today. They made that choice.
That's right.
And you and I have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. What are you going to do with God? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Call on the carpet, I said, just like they were in the day of Joshua. He says, make a choice. What number, brother?
377.
If you need to be saved, come on down here. Get saved. You want to join this fellowship? Come on down here. Join the church.